Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Columbus.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
The Blue Jackets kept their season alive last night. They did it with a victory in Detroit. It took a shootout to get it done. Actually, to be honest with you, it took Zach Werenski to get it done last night. Blue Jackets win by the final score of 4-3. Jody, that was a game in which I will totally be honest with you. It's the final minute, and the Red Wings iced the puck a couple of times, and it felt like I was talking about the Blue Jackets are on their way to their seventh straight loss potentially, and it's amazing that it's come to this point. And all of a sudden, Adam Fantilli said, no, we're not done yet. And he scores with 17 seconds left in regulation on a great feed from Zach Werenski. And then we go to the overtime. I think there were maybe more chances in overtime. There was more excitement in overtime than there was for, I think, honestly, three quarters of the third period of that game. And then it ends up going to a shootout, and it goes beyond the three, and Zach Werenski comes out, and he finishes it. And we found out after the game that he finished it with cut skate laces and his skate taped together so that he could go out and do that. It's an incredible story, and it turned out to be an incredible game. And for the Blue Jackets, that was their season yesterday. And it's still alive for tomorrow here in Buffalo when they take on the Buffalo Sabres. And then it's on the line again tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres. But I don't know. Like, Rick Bowness talked about how great he thought that game was afterwards. And I'll be honest with you, there were times in the second and third period. I think I said in the third period, I said, for a game that has so much on the line for both teams, I'm surprised how kind of boring this game is in a way. Where I thought it was quiet. I thought the crowd was quiet. I don't know if that was nerves on the crowd's part or whatever, but it just, I guess I was ready for a wide open rock 'em sock 'em, and that's not what it turned out to be.
You know, I think that if you watch any game, most games this time of year, you're going to see a lot of the same where it seems like both teams are just in a stare off, you know, and it's who's going to flinch first. And the chances came off of turnovers either way, and transition came off a shot on net, and then, you know, the defensive team jumping to offense to try to create odd man rushes. So that's what you're seeing right now. And coaches, you know, that they would just want to see their teams play their systems. So it's working from the blue paint in front of your net out and try to create offense. And I go back to what you started with. Those icings, that reminds me, there was two of the three that were so close to not being icing. You look at all the factors against the Blue Jackets, down by a goal. A goal that comes on a heck of a play from Larkin, and then a turnover by the Blue Jackets. They get the goal to go ahead with under 5 minutes left, and you're like, oh boy. But then you saw an unbelievable push, a push of urgency. Like, there was a couple moments. Charlie Coyle was not going to lose a battle on a puck to keep it in the offensive zone earlier. The pressure was so high, they willed themselves into the situation for that last icing. But there was two pucks that barely crossed the line for icing. If that could be the difference of these guys not being alive, the faceoff win, Monahan, the previous two faceoffs had been lost. Monahan gets in there and ties up the faceoff, and Marchenko gets it back to Zach Werenski. That is literally a game of inches, and Fantilli had the same shot against the Winnipeg Jets and Hellebuck two nights prior, and, you know, that was the difference. He wanted that puck on his stick to get it done again. He got it done. And here we are talking about being still alive in the playoffs. Now, they can only get 96 points. And the Flyers are, you know, going to push to get to that point. But the Blue Jackets have the tiebreaker in that situation. So they can still be they can still do this, but last night was so massive, and the way it ended, it's almost, it was hard to get your head around what exactly happened in the dying seconds of that game to get that extra point. And boy, it's going to come right down to the wire. But you said it, Zach Werenski, isn't it amazing what a little bit of rest does?
Yeah.
Day off, optional skate, you know, he needed that. He needed to stay away from the arena for a couple of days, and it just felt like one of those games where you had to get the puck in his hands.
No doubt. And when they did, it paid off.
Yeah.
And it was in Detroit, and that's not a surprise because he loves to go home and play.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they don't like to see the hometown boy come home and play.
They booed him.
Yeah.
In the shootout. And I like, you know, I love the way that stage was set for Zach Werenski. And, you know, there's moments where you watch games and you think, okay, they're just going to come out and dominate. Okay, they did that during the stretch. But this time of year, with the urgency of these games, you're not going to see it. There's a lot that goes into, there's so many circumstances throughout a 60-minute hockey game and beyond. Jack Greaves was, I mean, he was lights out for the Blue Jackets last night. You know, if he doesn't make some key saves on breakaways, breakdowns, battles in front, we're not sitting here talking about the Blue Jackets being 2 points out of the playoff spot. So, and more importantly, they got a win. They got the win. When was it ever going to end? You look at those six games where they were losing, it was like, what's going on? What happened with this team? Where it was just seemed like they were rolling along. So, it's going to make for great drama down the end of this stretch here, Bob.
Yeah, it is. You talk about Jet Greaves and its great saves, and you're right, there were the breakaways, but there was one in particular on Alex DeBrincat where he caught a puck. DeBrincat tried to go high glove on him, and Jet snapped that thing out of midair like it was a softy, quite frankly, and it was a rocket. And he took it away, and look, whenever you... I don't know how you feel about it, but going in and playing the Red Wings, especially in Detroit, yes, Dylan Larkin's a threat. Yes, Lucas Raymond's a threat. But that Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, take me back to Chicago in the heyday thing, I hate it when they're on the ice together. And DeBrincat, you know, he had a big game against the Blue Jackets earlier this year, too, right? He won that game in overtime.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's a clutch player.
Yeah, he is. And Jet, to me, I don't know if you can narrow it down to one save, but that save, to me, was an exclamation point in that game.
Yeah. You know, there's a sturdiness to when he plays. There's like a confidence, a calming, and, you know, you always hear the phrase, your best players have to be your best players. And Kane was coming off a game where he tied it up against Minnesota, down by 3 goals in the third, and then took a penalty and then came out after, and he was so upset that he let his team down. So he kind of felt like he was going to be a factor in trying to win that game for his team there in Detroit, which... I mean, he's the guy that's done it so many times, and factoring in on that DeBrincat play. But I agree with you. There was moments that stood out with saves, and Jack Greaves pretty much said, "I've got your cheat code, and here, this is not happening tonight."
When it comes to him, and I want to ask what you think about this. When Elvis is making big saves like that, when he's under pressure and he's getting peppered with shots, and he's making the saves, you can just, I don't know how to say this, but you can tell. Like, he's all over the place. He's making the saves. I get it. He's doing his job and all that, but it is very flamboyant and noticeable, and I'm not knocking him because he's doing the job, okay? Right. Jet gets in those same situations, and to me, he does it in such a relaxed way where, you know, when you look at Elvis, you're like, oh, he is in trouble right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you look at Jet, it doesn't feel like he's in trouble, but then he freezes the puck and you go back over it in your mind and go, good Lord, how'd he just do that?
Yeah.
Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. There's pucks hit Elvis because he's bigger, I think. And I think sometimes those pucks in traffic that come off him create more chaos in front of him. Whereas Jet, as a smaller guy, he's got to find the puck, and he does a much better job of finding pucks at times that he can control. Like, even one last night went off his stick that he ramped up into the netting. That was by design, to get the whistle, you know, get like stop this kind of zone time from the Detroit Red Wings. But I definitely see that. And Elvis is a battler, a bigger guy that battles. And sometimes that creates a little more chaos in front. And Jet does a great job of controlling the game. You know, there are times where you see Elvis play a puck that maybe he shouldn't play. He should take the whistle. And that creates a little more pandemonium where Jet will just calm. He's got just a calmer way to play. They both very different styles, but they both get the job done.
As a former player, when you have a goalie that is calming it down, what does that do for the team?
Well, Bobrovsky was one of the best at it for us. And when I was in New York, Lundqvist was good. And it gives you a little extra confidence because there's mistakes that are going to be made. You're a little freer to make and just play your game because you have that backstop back there, you know, that wants to make that impact or can make that impact if you do have breakdowns. So I think you just have a little more freeness to play, not a higher risk. At times it can be a higher risk, but it's not so much do or die. You know what I mean? Like there's moments where, and I'll tell you, there's moments where you don't want them to freeze the puck because you don't want to whistle because you don't want to go off the ice. And you know, sometimes that you'll see that with lines and players.
Wait, but you mean as a fourth line guy?
Yeah, as a fourth line guy, it's like, we're outmatched, but we can do this. Let's just get it out of our own end. And then you get a whistle and it's been 9 seconds and you're off the ice. So, but no, you respect that because it's all about the composure of the team and kind of a reset on all those whistles.
So the Blue Jackets get it done last night in Detroit. They keep their season alive. As Jody mentioned, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. We'll break down all of that because today's a day off in Buffalo, and it's a well-deserved day off.
You just
talked about getting rest. They needed it. There was a practice scheduled. They canceled the practice today. The guys will get a chance to breathe. They earned that chance to breathe, and we'll get back to talking about these standings and you know, what the Blue Jackets need to do, how they can get in, got to win. We know that. But, you know, what else has to happen to help them along the way? All of that coming up as we continue on the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America.
There's no joke there.
We just are.
The Fan.
Ohio's sports destination.
Here, Eric Reeser and T-Bone stage the first annual Fan 5K.
People had a good time and no one died.
So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly,
will Tyvus Common Man and Timmy make total fools of themselves?
Maybe. Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes.
Register today at 971therace.com. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
What a forecast we've got this time around. Overnight into Thursday, temperatures stay above freezing across central Ohio in the 40s with clear skies. Thursday, a ton of sunshine and much, much warmer with highs in the 70s. Friday, dry and sunny to start. A minor cold front comes in the afternoon with about a 50% chance of some rain showers. And then on Saturday, it's back to sunshine and highs in the 60s. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best seats, the biggest games, all can be yours with a 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. You get to pick the matchups that you want to see. The plan starts at just 11 games. You can save up to 40%, and you receive guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets along with flexible payment options. It's all there for you. Find out more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. It's the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. And told you going into the break, the Blue Jackets are 2 points out of a playoff spot. That shootout win puts them at 90 points on the season, one ahead of the Detroit Red Wings, one ahead of the New York Islanders. You've got the Ottawa Senators. They won. By the way, don't look for help at this time of the year with a couple of games left, right? Mm-hmm. You look last night, Ottawa's playing Tampa. You're thinking, oh, boy, that's a good matchup for the Blue Jackets with, you know, Tampa. They're going to win that game. Well, you know, they called, I think, three players up from the American Hockey League and drove them from Syracuse to Ottawa in a snowstorm to make sure they were there for the game. And Ottawa gets the win in that game, so they stay ahead of the Blue Jackets. But, Jody, really, it looks like the best path for the Blue Jackets. I don't want to say easier path. I don't think there's anything easy about any of this. But the best path may be through the Metropolitan Division.
Yes.
Even though the Philadelphia Flyers now sit with 92 points, which I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I talked trash about these guys 3 weeks ago, and now I'm eating it because they're doing what they're doing. But Look, they've got 92 points. The Blue Jackets hold the tiebreaker against the Philadelphia Flyers. You just got to be in a tie with them for third place, and it's all yours. And again, that seems like the easier avenue to take.
Well, listen, you're looking up right now, and Philadelphia feels good because they control their own destiny. They got the Red Wings tomorrow night, okay? So
I'm a Red Wings fan.
You're a Red Wings fan tomorrow. You weren't last night. And they've taken it on the chin. That's going to be a battle for Philly. And if the Blue Jackets come here to Buffalo, a team that's clinched the playoffs, play tonight in New York, so they're going to travel back here. A team that's done great things, a team that's going to be hard to play against. The Blue Jackets did a good job snapping their 10-game win streak earlier in the season. If the Jackets win and the Flyers lose tomorrow night, the Jackets are in the third in the Metro. And then you really gain momentum. And, you know, for the Blue Jackets, then you go into Montreal, a team that's clinched in the playoffs. Okay. Always hard to play on a Saturday night in Montreal, but it's always festive and fun for the away team. So that's another game you can win. And then you come home and you got the Boston Bruins. I know that's three games away, but the Bruins were the team that when the Blue Jackets were up by three goals in the third period and lost to San Jose the night before, lost that game. And it really put them in a tailspin. I know they faced Carolina two times after that. A tough team to play against. But I look at last night as a springboard, and tomorrow with a team that's clinched, and then Saturday night with a team that's clinched. I think this is exciting. Just that last night made this very, very exciting. So I know Philly, you know, they're rolling along. They got some good pieces. Their goaltender, Dan Vladar, has done an exceptional job of keeping them in games. Are they, to me, a little bit punching over their weight class? Yes. But I still believe strongly that if this Blue Jackets team gets in, it's going to be a handful for a lot of teams. And I look at other teams like that. Ottawa is like that. Winnipeg is like that. Now, those two teams had higher expectations, but they all play a very, very good team game. And the difference with the Blue Jackets, I think, is their goaltending is shored up. I know, the West, Hellebuck's the best goalie in the world and the MVP of the league last year. That's the reason for them. But for the Blue Jackets, it's just a team game. And I don't think they had it last night the entire game. I think there was moments where there was holes. But if they can find it, and I know there's still some pieces that Severson's done for the year. Olivier could be back at the start of the playoffs or maybe a little bit into it. You know, these are things that are important. So we'll see. But it's extremely exciting right now that after that win last night, looking at this schedule, and it starts with Buffalo tomorrow night, and they can beat Buffalo.
When you talk about Damon Severson's injury, it is a huge hole. It's a gaping hole right now for the Blue Jackets. And it's a hole, to me, it's for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's no replacement for him at this point in time, okay? There's nobody that is playing that kind of a game on this roster. There's nothing in Cleveland where you can go get it. But to me, the bigger thing is, and we saw this last night, the two guys that are rotating are Jake Christensen and Igor Zamula. And whenever they play, and it doesn't matter which one, there is a point in the game where they stop playing them. They put them on a bench. And you're playing with five defensemen. I think you could argue that last night they were down to four at points in the third period. And they were just rotating. Werenski, Provorov, Matejczyk, Fabro. And, you know, Gabranson would get out there and pull his shifts. But that's the one thing that I wonder, how long can you sustain that? You've got to sustain it through the next four games, obviously. But if you can get beyond that, is into the playoffs, I mean, how do you fix that problem that you have? You can't play four guys, and it's hard to play five guys every single night, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Zach Werenski played over 33 minutes last night, and you know, that's to be expected, I guess. It might be 4 minutes too much for Zach Werenski. It's going to compound. Yeah, the playoff matchup will be definitely something that needs to be addressed. It's going to be a lot of weight on the top four, but Severson settled down that second pair. You look at Falk last night for the Detroit Red Wings. Justin Falk had two goals, defenseman. Yeah, he didn't play the previous two games. He was good defensively. He's paired with Ben Sherratt. That's a stable pair. And when you have Severson, who can get pucks out of your own end, kill the plays when there is chaos, make a good pass, make a good decision. He's a right-handed shot on that side. Then you have that pair. Then you can work Matejchuk with Provorov, which has been a good pair for this year. And then you also have, you know, get Branson slotted properly with Fabro. Or vice versa, maybe Fabro with Provorov and Matejchuk with good Branson. Then you have all lefty-righties. It's going to be the little details in these games, and there's going to be moments, and that's when you need the goaltending. I think that's what happened last night. You know, that pair was out there for one goal, Gudbranson and Christensen, against, and then they didn't play much. Then they got split up. So it's going to really rely a lot on those defensemen and the centermen. You know, Coyle, Monahan, they made some great defensive plays last night when there were breakdowns. They had to gut that one out. So I like that it's a day off today for a lot of reasons, but especially the Zach Werenski factor and then elevated minutes for guys like Fabro. You know, Provorov can handle it. You know, he's a guy that can play big minutes and play that same way. But you'll see in a 7-game series where teams will exploit that bottom pair or the holes of any team. And that is definitely a factor right now for the Blue Jackets, but, you know, there's nothing they can do about it. Injuries are going to happen to other teams in playoffs too and down the stretch. And it's how you adapt and adjust. And you can't just rely on depth. You need the players that come in to play within themselves in minutes against the best players of the opposition and have a game plan for it.
What did you think of the line changes prior to the game yesterday when Rick Bonus made substantial changes? And he said before the game, after the morning skate, he said, hey, look, the good news is if this doesn't work early in the game, I can just change them back to what they were. But he really never did. I mean, you tinker from time to time, especially situation late in the game, you know, but, you know, and I noticed how often he had two centermen on the ice for faceoffs, which is, I thought it was clutch and it was key. But for the most part, you know, the changes he kept intact. There were some different guys playing with other different guys and it worked.
There's a few things there. I think it's a great move by a coach to do it. When things are stale, it's just human nature. Just, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for, you know, in a locker room, you come in, you see your name in a different spot on the board. You hear that it's going to be changed up at practice. It gives you a little bit of juice, but it also puts some guys on notice, you know, and, for Monahan, he goes down with a couple more role playing line. I didn't mind the way they played at all. The general line I thought was great. Of course, they scored on the first shift of the game that they had. So, and how about Mason Marchman? It seems like his shift to score is that first shift of the game, the last two games. So that's a boost. I don't mind it. I think it puts guys on notice, and I think that you can always go back to what's familiar, but it also gives guys excitement. Marchenko was excited. I heard in your pregame interview yesterday, before that Detroit game, you interviewed Marchenko. He was genuinely excited to play with Coyle and Garland. And he made a comment to you that he feels like he just needs to find open ice, you know, and it tells me that he's getting bogged down a little bit with doing all the checking at times within a line. He wants to create offense. He wants to play in the offensive zone. He wants guys that'll hold onto the puck. And simply Coyle can just create space. Not that Fantilli doesn't hold onto the puck. He does, but, you know, Fantilli sometimes, I think these guys need to, when they're out there with Werenski, use him more. I thought they did that last night in the second half of the game where you see the Minnesota Wild out there with Quinn Hughes. Every second pass goes to Quinn Hughes. That's because he's at the different spot in the zone. He puts everyone on high alert, and then it gives you time, and you know Zach's going to find you if you get open. So that's the way to attack offense. And I think sometimes Fantilli gets too locked up in the one-on-one game where you see them end shifts and they go back to the bench, and Marchenko's just, he's like, if you would have held on to it a second and I would have been able to get in this spot, then you would have been able to get it to me, where Fantilli wants to be the game breaker almost every shift. And that can be frustrating to play with. So, and no, that's no knock on Fantilli. That's just a maturity of being a guy who's just starting his career in the National Hockey League, out there with these guys. So I like it. I think it provides energy to guys like Marchenko. I think guys that got moved around a little bit were surprised. And it, you know, there were a couple times after a penalty kill and a power play that things got back to the lines that we're familiar with. And who, listen, Rick Bonus is only going to go with the guys who are going. And you're going to see exactly situational. There was a lot of faceoffs in that game last night. You're going to see two centermen out there quite a bit. And that is taxing too. If you talk to a centerman, which I have, It's a little more juice that comes out of you when you take all those face-offs. So if a guy dips, and you see him is struggling a little bit, and maybe he looks tired, you put someone else in that spot. So it really isn't about the lines to start the game. It's to see if this gets you going within the game to see where we can slot you in when we need you later in the game, and that's the importance of it.
Yeah, you talked about the situational thing. There was a couple of offensive zone draws. I think there was one late in the second period where Fantilli, Marchenko, Marchment wound up on the ice because if you win that faceoff, those are the guys you want out there, right?
Exactly. And there's been so many times this season where we see them still talking off of faceoffs. It's because they have three options. And Zach Werenski in that game-winning goal last night, he got the puck, and the first option is if there's a shot lane there, you put it through. But there was no shot lane. So he faked the shot and slid it over to Fantilli. And that little play is so dangerous and so hard for a goaltender. So, and it ended up being the goal that tied the game. And, you know, they're familiar with their options when they're out there together. And that's a good thing to have. And that's the book that you create throughout the regular season. So there are a few of those situations that you can always go back to. If the faceoff's on the right side, you go with Coyle to win that faceoff. And guys understand how he takes faceoffs. And you watch throughout the game on who he's going against and maybe what the issues have been. And then that's on the wingers to help get the puck.
Yeah. And again, as you said, they did a good job of it last night, especially late in the game. If they don't do it, we're talking a whole different story here today. Completely different story here today. All right, we'll come back and continue the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank after this on 97.1 The Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Saving
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
Are you and Bob Marley related, since you're both Jamaican?
No, me and Usain Bolt is.
Oh, that's also
who would win in a race?
Don't even ask.
Mornings on The Fan. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Coming up on Sunday, it's a fifth line celebration presented by Schmitz. Get there early for a pregame plaza party. There'll be fans in attendance getting Sean Monahan bobbleheads while supplies last, and then cheer on the Blue Jackets when they take on the Boston Bruins. For your tickets, go to bluejackets.com/on sale. You know, speaking of bobbleheads, I do have a Jody Shelley bobblehead at my home, the Syracuse Crunch jersey on it.
That was fun.
That's a collector's item.
That's a collector's item. And that's from back when bobblehead. I mean, now they're amazing.
Yeah.
Sean Monahan, it looks, they do the details so great. But that's when it was just, it resembles me, I will say. Missing tooth. But flattering to have a bobblehead. I'm glad you have one.
Yes. We actually, Jody and I had a conversation about going to visit Syracuse today on the day off. And 4 seconds later, we had another conversation about something completely different.
Yeah. We had a great time in Syracuse down there when they were the affiliate for the Blue Jackets. I mean, I came from Johnstown, so did you, which was, I mean, Syracuse had a university, and right. It was, you know.
It's a much bigger Johnstown as well.
It was great. Good people there. We still have friends there, so that would have been, what's it, 3 hours, though?
Yeah, it's 2.5.
That's too far.
Yeah, right.
On a day off.
Anything outside of an hour, forget about it.
Yeah.
And an hour is Rochester, and forget about that. I'm not going.
We travel enough.
Yes. Yes, indeed. We do travel enough. But it is funny, and, you know, we talk about this from time to time. I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday that was talking about how, you know, general managers look at the minor leagues now, and they want to make sure that the players are taken care of like you would be in the NHL. They want to give them every opportunity to develop, right?
Right.
I mean, they've got the high-tech weight rooms, and they've got the chefs now, you know, with the preparing of the food and all that stuff. I mean, you guys were left to eat whatever you could eat.
We were. And my favorite is the pregame meal at the Chinese buffet on the way to a game. That was always great. So, yeah, I know these players have every advantage, and they should, because they're invested big in these players. And, you know, it's the future of the franchise, so I like the way they're treated. And then these guys take care of themselves a lot better than we did. They put a lot of money into, I put a lot of money into training, but I was kind of ahead of the time with, some of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money to do that, but that was kind of where I felt I needed to get an edge. But you brought up GMs. How about this week? How about the vacancies in the National Hockey League right now? This late in the season with general managers. You know, you've got, Toronto has made their move. New Jersey has made their move. And Nashville is without one, too. So it's interesting to see this, the movement that's going to happen around the National Hockey League with general managers. And to take it a step further, in the Metropolitan Division, the Islanders, with a break in the schedule, hired Pete DeBoer. And for Matthew Darche, like, that's a big move for a first-year general manager. Because if you think of it now, like, that's his new coach. He's made his move. So, like, Patrick Waugh did a really good job with the Islanders, and I get it. I would support this move from afar to put yourself on notice there with DeBoer, who's had a couple, like, you know, there's not all raving reviews about Pete DeBoer. I hope he's learned a few things. Obviously, he has 18 years as a coach in the National Hockey League, but, you know, he left Dallas, which is a good team, and on bad terms when he called out Ottinger there after losing the series. So it'll be interesting, because if things don't go well, now Matthew Darche has made that move and he's put it all on him.
You know, and it's funny too, because Matthew Darche comes in this year, they win the lottery, they get to choose Matthew Schaefer. But I mean, when he gets that job, I forget when the timing was, but
yeah,
you're not thinking, if you're the New York Islanders, we're going to make the playoffs this year. We're probably going to take a little bit, right?
No one knew the expectations.
Right. And then you get Matthew Schaefer, and then your team plays so well. But now that move says, yeah, we got to make the playoffs. We need to go right now.
I don't think they're going to make it. I think it's more like there's going to be coaching vacancies.
Yeah.
And that's their number one. And who else would they go with if they're going to make a change? Mm-hmm. So they locked them up. I mean,
I did see on social media, so now we know that this is maybe 15% true, who knows. But the Leafs are probably going to make a change, you would think, with a general manager change and Craig Berube's, I'm not saying they should.
No, it's the hot button topic. Right. They're talking in that market like he's not the coach anymore.
Yeah, right. But I saw somewhere where perhaps Pete DeBoer was a guy that they may have had good interest in, and now he's off the market.
Right.
So now they have to reach out.
I think that's the move by Darche, but it's interesting to make that move when this is really a year we had no expectations. He's added some good pieces, and now he's changed the coach. So, you know, it puts a lot of expectations into next season on this team. They do have a great goalie, though, Sorokin, and they've rode him hard. But, you know, you look at where they're sitting. They don't play again until tomorrow. Other teams did have a game in hand on the Islanders at the time when the coaching change was made, but they're at 89 points. They're three back of the wild card Ottawa Senators at 92, and they're three back of the Philadelphia Flyers at 92, and one behind the Blue Jackets. Every team has got four games left except for Boston. So every team in that race has four games left. Philly, Ottawa, who are trying to get to 97 points, because if the Blue Jackets win out, they can only get to 96. So it's an all-out race. I expect them to win all four games.
There's four games left, right? They get to 98.
Who, the Jackets?
Yeah, 4 times 2 is 98.
What are we at now? 98. Yeah,
right.
That's right. Geez, I was looking at that last night. 98 points they can get to. So the Jackets are very much in this, and the Islanders, I think they're going to win all their games. But I also look at the teams like Ottawa. It's good. What are we talking about? Let's see what happens.
Yeah. What Tom Fitzgerald in New Jersey, what happened there? He seemed like he had that team going in the direction that they wanted to go, and the wheels fell off pretty quickly. Last year it was injury. This year it was not.
Yeah, this year was injury. Jack Hughes was a big miss. I just think he moved on a couple players, and, you know, with the injuries and kind of the pieces they got, like Hamilton, kind of big-time underachieved compared to last year. They just fell off, and their goaltending has been just okay. So you look at that team and the Rangers, boy, that's that market. It's really open for the Islanders this year to have the spotlight. But I don't know. I think that I think that the situation maybe there isn't ideal for him. And I think with Nashville being open and him being a former captain, I think that that's just an opportunity for him to step down. I don't think they let him go. I think that he just saw that this opportunity arose for him and it's a better fit. I'm not sure of the working situation with the ownership. Sometimes you hear that that could be an issue. But I'm not sure. He made some moves where I think he was in the driver's position, and then he's totally gone a different direction with that team.
When you look at Toronto, they've hired a firm to do the search.
Right. And
there's a lot of talk about the quote-unquote firm that, you know, the agency that could potentially, in the trifecta world, I guess, they could hire a president, they could hire a general manager, and then they could hire a coach and make all those recommendations and have all those people hired and get commission from all those hirings.
Insider trading, yeah. I mean, that's interesting. You would think that if you just make a few phone calls in this league, it's such a small, tight-knit community that you could find the person you're looking for. But it tells me they want someone a little more in-depth, you know, a little more they did say analytical. I mean, it's such a hot market. It's in such a microscope. It's all about win-now attitude that they got to get this right. So I guess that's one way of doing it. But, yeah, it's very interesting that the one guy is an agent that they hired that runs this search for an agent for coaches and managers.
They had an analytical guy.
I know.
Kyle Dubas.
And to me, he did a good job because they were in the playoffs. They were a great team. There's so many factors in playoffs that happen that have to go the right way. And, you know, of course, there was a couple memorable collapses. The Bruins was the one that seemed to be the one that was their Achilles heel in the playoffs when they had an epic collapse against them. But, yeah, I like what Dubas has done in Pittsburgh. He's a smart guy. He's brought in the right people and put them in the right situation, including the head coach, Dan Muse. So, but he goes in there with Crosby and Malkin, Letang, Carlson, and they've made that work. He's adjusted the goaltending. But it can't just be analytics. It's got to be, you also have to watch and understand personalities and people. And I think there is a combination that works.
I think that's the one thing. I was just thinking about this the other day. We talked last year about how Washington retooled their team and got younger and all that stuff. Dubas has done a lot of that in Pittsburgh this year. And we haven't talked about it as much. I think Dan Muse right now, like to me, I'll give him a vote for a coach of the year. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. And there's a few of those guys. Marco Sturm with the Boston Bruins has done a great job with that team. Rick Tocchet with the Philadelphia Flyers has done a great job with that team. John Cooper has done a very good job with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who's, you know, looking at winning the Atlantic Division.
That's he gets all overlooked, right?
Yeah, has never won a Jack Adams.
Which is funny, too, because, like, when I think of him, and maybe this is the problem, I think, well, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Of course they're good. They're always good.
They've had so many injuries. Yeah. And, you know, he had to dial things back with that team. The point was out for a lot of the season. One of their top centermen. So they do have Kucherov and Vasilevsky, and Hedman's been in and out with injury. I think he's out now again. So, yeah, that comes down to coaching and strategizing and putting pieces in the right area, and it also shows they've got good depth that fit into what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. That has been their MO, right? From the time that they have become a power in the National Hockey League, it's always been on depth. They've always built it, taken it through the American Hockey League. They continue to take it through the American Hockey League and have their players develop, then come to the National Hockey League, and that's why they win. So, yeah, that's a fair point. I always think, well, they're good. What's it, him? Just that they're good.
No, he's done a really good job.
You're right. That's very fair. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Why choose?
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge. The Blue Jackets getting set for the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow night here in Buffalo. The game will get underway at 7 o'clock. We've got pregame coverage here on The Fan starting at 6:30. Jody will be on FanDuel, and their pregame coverage will begin on 6:30 or at 6:30 on TV as well. Another must-win game. We talked about this earlier in the show. The Buffalo Sabres, the Blue Jackets have come here, and they've had good games in the past, but the past is the past in this city. I mean, you used to come in here, and there'd be 8,000 people if you were lucky. We played a day game here. Was that last year, 2 years ago? And there was like nobody here. That's not going to be the case anymore. This city is alive for hockey once again, and that'll be a factor tomorrow.
You know, it's pretty incredible what's going on here. They hire Jarmo Kekäläinen, former Blue Jackets general manager. He comes in and changes the tone and the message, him and Josh Flynn, who are with the organization. And this is a good team. And that just shows you they needed a little direction. And now they are a juggernaut. They have found electricity. They're big. They play fast. It's like they're on a mission. The switch is flipped. And I can't wait to see the atmosphere here tomorrow night in Buffalo, to be honest with you. And I know they've clinched, but I've only watched the Bills Mafia from afar.
Yeah.
And there's some passionate fan bases when it comes to the National Football League and being a sports city. I think of Philadelphia, also Chicago. This is a different type of animal. And they've been 14 years without being in the playoffs. That's something that's been hanging over their head. Well, this year they're in. And you know what? I'm happy for them. I think it's a better league when teams like the Buffalo Sabres are doing well. And it's been a long time coming. And these guys it seems like they are enjoying the moment. You know,
yeah.
They understand. They've never seen this. Darlene has never seen this. 10 years in the league. First overall pick. So they got to be so energized with the fan base. And I think about back when the Blue Jackets swept the Lightning and, you know, there's still people talking about that. That is a feeling of pure joy and admiration for your team and your fan base, both relationships going either way. And you feel it here in Buffalo. We've only been here since midnight last night, or was it later? 2 a.m. last night. But you just see it walking around today. There's a bit of a swagger back here in Buffalo about the Sabres.
Yeah, they found their blue and gold. They didn't have it for a long time. And even though it's a great fan base, I don't think anybody would be jumping through tables before the game tomorrow.
You don't know. And I remember back the last time they were in the playoffs, I was with the Flyers. And I think that was 2012-13. And springtime in Buffalo, springtime anywhere is great. But springtime in Buffalo, it's fun. It's a nice, fun.
Springtime is 45 degrees in Buffalo by
today, way. But tomorrow's going to be 70 and a little bit of drizzle. Yeah. If you're,
but I'm just little. Saying, when it gets to 45, they break the shorts out here.
Oh yeah,
the shorts. You know that from your time in Syracuse.
Yeah.
45 in sun, it's like here we go,
dying to get the shorts out. So yeah, no, it's fun. It's and the playoff atmosphere is intense here. It's great, and it is everywhere. But it hasn't been around in 14 years for Buffalo.
Biggest key for the Blue Jackets tomorrow.
Well, the Blue Jackets, you've heard it from Rick Bowness a lot. They got to play the team game. When they play like a unit, five guys away from the puck, working with each other, not guessing, not hoping, they're tough to play against. And hopefully last night just brings a bit of more confidence. You know, it settles them down. Because when you're in a losing streak, you do different things. You try to do it yourself. You try to, you know, you force things. They don't have to force anything. And I think that's one thing against the Buffalo Sabres. They're high transition. They go from defense to offense with their blue line very quickly, whether it's their defenseman skating it out or making that long stretch pass to fast forwards. So for the Blue Jackets, they've got to stay in that team game and that mindset that they want to really just grind it out. You know, they do have big D. They do have big forwards to the Buffalo Sabres, but it's going to be an all-out grind in the corners, grind on the walls. You have to take hits to make plays, to open players, sacrifice yourself when you do have the puck and pop it to the open man at the right time. So that's the key here. So the two things for me are playing as a team defensively to get pucks back. And in the offensive zone, you can't make those plays. You can't take a shot from the blue line and take a breath, because if it's blocked or saved, they're gone the other way. So you got to be alert on those. But also, if you do try, and you got to watch the plays from the hash marks to the middle of the ice. those plays are so dangerous because if those wingers pick those off, everybody's gone the other way. So, and they could take advantage of their up ice game because they do press a lot and take a lot of risk up in the offensive zone. Like the Blue Jackets do at time where the defenseman's below the goal line and then you have a forward playing D, you can do that. So that's a long answer, but there's two or three points in there that, that the Blue Jackets have to really pay attention to.
And there, but those are some points that you make that the Blue Jackets have struggled with here in the last couple of weeks. So right. They've got to clean it up. As Kirill Marchenko said yesterday when I talked to him and I asked him point blank, do you feel like you guys just need to win one game and get back to that feeling? Do you feel if you do that, you can string some together? He said, yes, I believe him because we've seen it. If they go on a run here, it's not going to shock me in the least. But it's not going to be an easy run because of the caliber of teams that they're playing against. So every night is a test, and the next one is coming up tomorrow. I look forward to it, Jody. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this one and the stretch here. And we will the season will be over next week when we talk, and hopefully it's ready for the playoffs, Bob.
Absolutely. We'll be ready. Hopefully we'll be dealing with it.
Oh, we'll be ready.
Okay. Perfect. That is Jody Shelley, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Again, tomorrow's game here in Buffalo starts at 7 o'clock, pregame coverage at 6:30 here on The Fan, and Jody will be on FanDuel, and their pregame starts at 6:30 as well. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Bob McElligott. This has been The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4.
Thinking about
this radio station is more than 100 years old.
And during that time, absolutely no one has hosted more shows than the Common Man.
I don't know why we're bragging about that, but I just read the copy, okay?
And then there's Timmy.
What can I say about good old Timmy?
Well, he's a heck of a guy.
All right, let's cut the bull.
Common Man and Timmy host a show that'll make you laugh at immature things, overreact to whatever's going on in the world of sports, and probably embarrass themselves in the process.
And we love them for it.
Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on The Fan.
Hey, it's Bob.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together.